There's a couple of themes that run through our first reading in our gospel that I think have to do with discipleship and our common vocation as a Christian people that's important for us to hear. In our first reading from Isaiah, we hear this call to the people, and a call to the people that in the end, for everything that they're about, the people of Israel are ultimately called to be a witness, a light, a sign for the nations. And the day will come when all people are called to the holy city. And we even have this moment that's so remarkable that seems to suggest that Israel is going to go out into exile precisely to bring the presence of God to others, that they'll be sent out as people who without a homeland, but that in going out, they will point to the presence of God that is for all people and about all people. And they are called to be a witness in what it is that they do as a nation. But they're also called to do that in a manner in which they seek holiness in their own lives. And that experience of kind of the communal aspect of what they are to be to the world in their holiness sits right next to each other. I think that's also true in our gospel reading today. So Jesus is asked a question, how many people will make it? And he doesn't answer that question. Instead, he calls the people to a life of holiness. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Strive to go the difficult way. And he speaks about that individual experience of trying to live a life that is faithful to what God calls each and every one of us individually. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord that grows out of our baptismal relationship with him. And we're called to be faithful to that, to really strive after holiness, to follow the narrow way. But then at the very end, he says, and people will come from the north and the south and the east and the west. And he speaks of the image of the people who call others from all languages, places, tongues, nations, back to who it is that God wants for everyone to receive. And I think that there's a couple things that sit with me as I've sat with those readings. And one is our Christian life can never just be about ourselves in the sense of what it is that we do. That we really are called to invest in a community. God calls a community. He calls a nation. He calls a church. And part of our own living out of our Christian life really does have to wrestle with the question of how is it that we are called to contribute to the community in which we live? It's not enough for us to just be about ourselves. That we really have to ask how it is that we build, and I want to be real concrete about this, how it is that we build here in Nashville, Indiana, in Brown County, how do we contribute to the well-being of this community so that this community is an image of God's presence in the world? Because it's how this community is an image of that, that we draw others into what it is that God calls everyone to discover in his life and in his goodness. So often when we consider our Christian life, we just really focus in on our own morality, what it is that we do. And I'm going to get to that in a second. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're mistaken if we think that the Christian life is just about our own relationship with God. The Christian life is rooted in the experience of church, in the experience of a community of faith. And that means part of our call to holiness is not just personal holiness, but part of our call to holiness is to really wrestle with how do we build up this place? How are we about this community? How do we build the Christian presence in the larger community in which we live? What is our responsibility in that? And I really do believe each and every one of us needs to wrestle with that sincerely, that we need to bring that to prayer. How is it that I make the community in which I live not just a better place in some sort of abstract thing, but how is it that I bring my own gifts to be an instrument of God's presence here where I live? The second piece, to be quite honest, has to do with our own individual morality, because we are called to follow the narrow path. We are called to be a people that does what it is that we are called to do in personal holiness. And yet what we're invited to do in that is to be a light again for other people. The invitation there is not just that we do what it is that we do just because it's good, but that we do what we do so that other people can see in that something that they themselves are called to. And I guess what I'd invite us all to consider from that perspective is, frankly, my brothers and sisters, if we were concerned enough about getting other people to heaven, we really don't have to worry about ourselves. And that our Christian call really is about getting other people to heaven, not just us. And the whole notion of being an instrument for others really sits at the heart of what it means to be a Christian person. That our Lord Jesus Christ has empowered us to carry on his mission of drawing all people to God. And so in the end, our mission is not just about what do I need to do, but really it's probably better to think about what it is that I need to do for the other. And that if I really strive to help the other to find God and to find life, then I've already done what I need to do for me. And the more that I'm focused on the well-being and the good and the love that I should have for the person in front of me, the more that I will fulfill whatever it is that God asks of me. The Christian life is never self-centered. The Christian life is always rooted in how it is that we reflect God's call to the other person. And in reflecting that call to the other, of discovering our own salvation, and discovering how it is that God has called me to be an instrument of his love for his people. Amen.